This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon about the art of being neighbors, which is the theme of the Whirlwind Project, which in Champaign County is an interfaith effort. We have three members of the Whirlwind group with us today in the studio: Allison Fromm, who comes from a Jewish tradition, and we have the Imam from the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center, Dr. Mujahid Al-Fayyad. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
And the third member comes from a Christian tradition. Let's see. That's me. That's right. I am active on the Whirlwind board along with my two friends who have joined me today here in the studio. This is a live program, and we'll be encouraging listeners to make phone calls, ask questions, make comments, perhaps share some of your experience in interfaith situations. The numbers in Champaign-Urbana is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Elsewhere, anywhere the program is heard, you may call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. So we are eager to have listeners joining this conversation on this live program. So the art of being neighbors. Let's talk a little bit about the religious traditions that each of you come from. Allison, let's start with you. Where did you grow up, and how were you introduced to Judaism?
I grew up in Washington, D.C., and my parents were both Jewish, and we attended a local Reform temple, Washington Hebrew Congregation, and I went to religious school and learned a little bit of Hebrew, had a bat mitzvah when I was 13, and was part of that tradition very deeply. But I also, once I was in seventh grade, attended an Episcopal school, was the best education in my area, the cathedral school. So I was exposed to Christian services at a young age, and I had some Muslim friends in school. So
your parents were observant Jews in the Reformed tradition, but because of, I take it they encouraged you to go to this Episcopal school because it was a good education.
Yes.
And particularly good in music, because I know that's one of your loves.
I think it was fostered there. I sang in the Glee Club. We did have to attend cathedral services once a week. And I know that this was a question for my parents and for me when I started there. And the conversation was that we needed to be respectful in these services, but yet we weren't required to speak any prayers or sing any songs that weren't appropriate.
Mm-hmm. So there were parts that you participated in and parts that you observed.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what were you doing in terms of your Jewish tradition then? You were attending the temple there, the Reformed synagogue.
Yes.
What did the bat mitzvah mean to you when you were so young?
Well, the term bat mitzvah, or it means daughter of the commandment, or bar mitzvah for a boy is son of the commandment. And it's a coming of age ritual in a way that you're accepting the traditions of your Jewish faith and the responsibilities as a Jew.
I was raised in the Christian tradition, Protestant, Evangelical Protestant, actually, in a small church in Urbana that my grandfather was the pastor of. And I became a Presbyterian after college. When I was in college at Wheaton, I went to some Presbyterian churches, but there wasn't really one there that I thought was exactly right for me. But I was impressed with what the Presbyterian denomination was doing at that time in the area of civil rights. This was in the 1960s. And in issues of poverty, justice issues around the world. And so I actually chose the denomination before I chose a particular congregation. And I went to a Presbyterian seminary after that in Chicago, McCormick Seminary. And it was while I was there I first joined a Presbyterian church as a member. And so the independent sort of Baptist church I grew up in was where I was until I was in seminary. And then after that, I got my PhD in religion at Duke University, which is a traditionally Methodist school. But, of course, the graduate program, like all graduate programs in religion, was open to people of many different faiths. And I think it was there that I first had studied other religions academically, but it was there I encountered very strong proponents from Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, Judaism, and so forth. So it was fascinating to be in that kind of a setting at Duke and to be in around over cups of coffee having some great discussions, learning about other faiths in a very practical way. Mujahid, what about you? I know you grew up in Iraq as a Muslim.
Iraq. I was born as a Muslim from a Muslim family, and actually the whole family was a practicing Islam family, I should say. And I got some education, actually, about Islam, although I got also my secular education, if you can call it, also in Baghdad and also in America. You know, Islam for Muslims is part of their life. So, and also once they believe in Islam, it is not, there's no room actually for Muslims to change. Actually, you are talking about changes from one school to another school, or from one church to another church. I grew up as a Sunni Muslim, if you want to know that. And also, I studied Islam. Actually, I got my, a degree, actually, in Islamic studies. And before even I came as imam for this center here in Urbana, I was also, working as a volunteer to educate people about Islam. And so that it was a kind of my, part of my hobby is to work and help Muslims and others, of course, to understand each other and also to understand Islam.
Now, you also, when you talk about your secular education, that included a doctorate here at the University of Illinois.
Yeah, I got my PhD from the Department of Food Science in 1979-80, around that time. And I was also back home teaching, actually, in the area of food science and technology, chemistry, biochemistry, all of these things. Until recently, in 2000, I came. I was, even before I came as imam over here, I was also imam in Malaysia for quite some time, for about 4 or 5 years.
But
I came
in Malaysia.
In Malaysia. Mm-hmm. But I came over here as a full-time imam since 2000.
Mm-hmm. And what motivated each of you to be interested to join this Whirlwind Project that was interfaith, because you're so committed to your own religious traditions? Why did you find this something worth doing?
Well, of course, it's part of the faith of Muslims is to open up to others. And opening up to others means that understanding others, helping others, supporting others. And also part of the teaching, actually, I should say the major part of the teachings of Islam is to deal with the other human beings, regardless of their faith, regardless of their background. So all what I'm doing is just implementing the law of Islam, which says that all human beings are the same and all human beings deserve the service of any one of us. So it is part of my duty as Muslim, and also as part of my duty as imam, to guide my community to be involved in helping the community at large. It is part of our duty. It's part of our faith. It is not something that I do as a kind of social. Well, although we are asked actually to socialize with others, but it is kind. I feel that it's kind of duty to help others, and it's also my duty to be involved with people of the book, mainly because they are so close to Muslims, and also with others.
Now that phrase, people of the book, for those listeners who may not know.
The Christians and the Jews are considered as the people of the book. It means that people who have the Torah and people who carry the Bible. These are called the people of the book. So they are very close to us because, we believe in the same prophets they believe in. We believe in the same God that they believe in. So we don't see any kind of differences in terms of basic principles between us and them. So why not working with them? Why not helping them? And also why not being part of them as a group serving the community? And this is the reason why we are working in Whirlwind. Whirlwind is a kind of organization that deals with everyone in the community, regardless of any of their backgrounds.
And Allison, what about you? What motivated you, coming from a Jewish tradition, finding yourself here at the University of Illinois, at first as a student, a graduate student in music, to get involved in this project, which uses music and the arts as a way to cross barriers between religious faiths?
As a way to connect people. And the seeds for Whirlwind Project were actually born in my backyard in the summer of 2001 when we were talking about the Baroque artist's performance upcoming for Handel's oratorio Israel and Egypt. And the themes of Israel and Egypt, the Exodus, slavery, and freedom are common to all three of these religious traditions and also to our society. So we talked about how we could build a project to involve more people in this music. And I think part of my personal motivation was, here I am as a Jew involved in choral music. And so much of that music is from the Christian tradition. So here was a way that I could involve my family and my friends in something that was important to me. And that was where it all started. But we had our first planning session for this on September 9th, 2001. And then with September 11th, we saw just how great the need was for people to come together and understand each other. As Mujahid says, there is a social element, but it, in that year in particular, it went far beyond that, and our wanting to understand each other as human beings and not as stereotypes.
I know that one of the first things that motivated me to be involved, the University of Hawaii, where I'm the director, has as one of its goals to work in interfaith settings. The Y comes from a Christian tradition, in fact, an evangelical Christian tradition originally, but in recent decades has been open to students and faculty and others in the community from any religious tradition. And we try to provide service projects for students and others to get involved in, regardless of their faith. It seemed worthwhile for me to spend some time with this group because it did have it crossed so many boundaries and barriers. And the Muslim Student Association, for example, had its beginning on this campus at the University YMCA.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It first met at the Y for a number of years. It first formed as an organization there before there was a mosque, mm-hmm. Before there was an imam in town.
That was in the 60s. Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. A long time ago. And then when I was pastor at one of the pastors at McKinley Presbyterian Church, by that time mm-hmm. The Muslim student group had grown so large it couldn't fit in the Y anymore, and so it went over to McKinley where they had a very big, large room. And for many years, the Friday prayers were there. So mm-hmm. I, as a Christian pastor, had this kind of a contact with Muslims, and it seemed so important to continue that. And as you say, particularly after 9/11, it became very obvious that it was important for people from many different religious traditions to learn more about each other and to find ways to get along. Now, the theme this year, the art of being neighbors. The first theme was the Exodus, and then what was next?
And then we did meditation.
Right.
And creation.
Contemplation, creation. The theme this year, the art of being neighbors. Where does that come from in each of your religious traditions? Mujahid, could we start with you?
Well, in Islam, the neighbor is so valued to an extent that the Prophet himself used to say that Gibrail came to me and he was telling me time after time and recommending to me my neighbor. And he never said anything about the neighbor has to be Muslim, your neighbor. Until I thought, that's what he said, until I thought that he's going to have also a share in my inheritance with my neighbor to that extent. So the value of the neighbor is so high in Islam. I can also show it to you some of the saying. Of course, before the saying of the Prophet, God himself has included the care for the neighbors in many verses of the Quran. Of course, so there are so many verses in chapter 4, verse 36. God is saying that it is not only the neighbor that next to you, but the neighbor who is little bit far from you. And even our scholars say that your neighbor is a neighbor who is a 40 neighbor from each side. Means just imagine that if you are in a city and you have to take care of 40 neighbors from each direction, means that you are taking care of the whole city. The Prophet put a condition that a person is not a believer unless he is taking care of his neighbor. And also he says that he is not a believer, the one who sleeps full at night and his neighbor is hungry. And he never mentioned that he's not a Muslim neighbor, a neighbor. Mm. Okay. And also he said that he who believes in Allah, and means God, and the last day must not harm his neighbor. And he who believes in Allah and in God and the last day must show hospitality to his guest. And he who believes in Allah and the last day must speak good or remain silent. So it is part of the Muslim faith that neighbor, regardless of what his faith is, should be taken care of. And he even says that the Prophet says that if you bring to anything to your house, you should know, you should not show this, whatever you are getting into your house, to your neighbor, unless you give him some of it. Mm-hmm. Or if he smells the smell or the aroma of your cooking, you should give him some of what you are cooking. So it is something that that it's part of the faith of Muslims. So I like this theme very much. And when we discussed that, actually we said that there's an art there. Not only the art of music, but the art of being neighbor. Means that you should take care of them in a very artistic way, very, very kind and nice way. So this is part of our faith as Muslims.
Some of our listeners, particularly ones who may be driving home from graduation today, maybe to the suburbs of Chicago or or other directions, may not know at all what some of the things that the Whirlwind Project has done already this spring in terms of this theme, the art of being neighbors. But I still have the taste of some sweets that came from the mosque today. In fact, your wife
was
cooking and sharing this.
I was just going to interject that I just experienced the art of being neighbors because I spent the afternoon over at the mosque, participating in a baking workshop where we learned to bake pita and some very delicious cookies that I won't mispronounce, but they had dates and pistachios and walnuts inside.
Mamul. Yeah.
And then I was treated to lunch. And every time I go into the mosque, I do feel very graciously welcomed by the people there.
Sure.
Now, as coming from the Jewish tradition and feeling welcomed in a mosque, was that a surprise to you the first time it happened?
Well, I think that I would not have ever thought to walk into the mosque or dared to walk into the mosque, perhaps here, before we started Whirlwind. I had actually been in the mosque in Washington, D.C., when I was going to the cathedral school, and we were all invited there to the mosque. And I have to admit that there was some small element of uneasiness that I felt. You know, was I safe? And seeing that there had been violence, you know, in the mosque there. But when we've been here and had many of our whirlwind activities in the mosque, we're always very graciously welcomed, even, I find, by people who don't necessarily know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the other events in the Whirlwind series of programs and projects this spring? Was the bread exchange yesterday. Allison, I know you were there. Tell us about that.
Well, this is the vision of Tom Albrecht, who is a professor of the university in the art and architecture department. And he does some very creative artistic projects. It was at Open Source, an art collective downtown. And the idea was that bakeries provided some bread, but also that people could bring bread that they had baked in their own kitchens and share it with others, and that the exchange of food was combined with the exchange of conversation. And there were a few people who came, and, you know, we'd never met. We had some very interesting conversations with food as a starting point and then moving on to all sorts of other things.
Mm-hmm. And let me just mention that Tom Albrecht, a professor in art design, will be our guest here on Keeping the Faith on June 4th. And so he'll be talking about several of his artistic projects, including this one on bread, and also one, a very moving piece that he has currently at the University YMCA on the war in Iraq called Us and Them. So we'll be talking about those two projects as well as others. And the use of art in dealing with political themes, religious themes, ethical themes, in this case, interfaith themes. So that'll be June 4th here on Keeping the Faith from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Getting back to our guests, let me reintroduce the folks we're talking with here on Keeping the Faith today. Allison Fromm comes from the Jewish tradition from Washington, D.C., Reformed Temple, where she was raised a Jew, coming from a Jewish family. Mujahid Al-Fayyad, Dr. Al-Fayyad is the imam at the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center in Urbana, where there are about, 700-800 Muslims involved or more than that even?
Well, in this city, we have more than 2,000 students actually go to the University of Illinois, and also around 2,500 community members.
As well.
Yeah, but those people are attending the prayers and coming to the Friday prayer are more than 500 people.
Mm-hmm. Let me invite listeners who might have a question or a comment about any of the things we're talking about today to give us a call anywhere the program is heard, including on the internet. WILL AM 580 can be found at WILL.UIUC.edu, anywhere you are around the world, and archives of this program are available there as well. Wherever you're listening, you may use 1-800-222-9455 to reach the studio and be live on the air with our guests. In Champaign-Urbana, there are two or three local lines that people can punch in, 333-9455. And I see we have a listener already on line number one with a comment or question. You're on the air.
Hi, I have both a comment and a question. I'm a nurse and had kids, and I'm 70 years old. That's my comment. My question is, do you think the exchange of food is essential to be gracious and welcoming? And I'll hang up and listen to the answer to the question.
So is food an essential part in being gracious and welcoming? You each talked about hospitality and being neighbors.
Well, I just mentioned that one of the recommendations for instance, for Muslims is to take care of the guest.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to me as a guest and I offer you a bread actually is considered as a divine food in all religions, by the way.
Mm.
And it's a kind of symbol for the expression of welcome and the expression of hospitality. So we thought about this to have a chance of showing people how we are so eager to have relations with you when I come and give you and offer you some bread. And when you give me your bread that you baked yourself, it's a kind of exchange. There's something spiritual in the process more than physical. It's not only that you give me some to taste and I give you some to taste, but it's that I show you peace. I show you that, well, I can exchange with you the same bread that I'm eating with my family to you, and you are doing the same. So it's a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of love. It's also a symbol of showing that I could spare this for you. It means I could give you this from the thing that I eat. I will share with you whatever I eat with you. So it's a symbol of love, a symbol of peace, and symbol of it. Well, the word exchange is also there in the religion. That, well, the Prophet of Islam says that when you exchange gifts, okay, you start the first step of love. That's why he said that tahada wa tahabu, exchange gifts, and this will lead you to love. So part of that, if it's bread and is divine, it is a kind of expression that we love you, so we can really also exchange your love with us through bread.
And from the Jewish tradition, Allison, the importance of bread. My wife and I were privileged to be included in a Seder service at the home of Orthodox Jewish friends this last Passover season. And we certainly felt welcomed and that they would share that important meal with, in our case, Christians.
And every meal has a blessing over bread. It's known as the motzi, when you say your blessing over bread particularly. And I'm thinking about whether the exchange of food is essential, I'm not sure. But coming from a Jewish tradition, and given that today is Mother's Day, and we think about Jewish mothers, and their way of expressing love and caring for people is always, yes, no, don't you want something to eat? So it becomes a traditional expression of care, I think.
And from the Christian tradition, I will offer this. Let us break bread together on our knees. It's a very important symbol, of course, in Christianity to share bread. It's considered a sacrament at one point in Christian worship. But hospitality is also one of the commandments in the New Testament that Jesus gave his disciples. And of course, the great story that's found in each of the Christian Gospels of Jesus multiplying the bread and the fish that was offered by one person for a whole multitude is a sign of the importance of that. So those would be some of the things from the Christian tradition that I would offer in support of, in response to our listener's question. Other listeners are encouraged to call 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. We're about halfway through our program with our guests, Allison Fromm from the Jewish tradition and Mujahid Al-Fayyad from the Muslim tradition. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm a Christian pastor, a Presbyterian pastor, who currently is the director of the University YMCA, which began as a Christian ministry here on this U of I campus 133 years ago. Support for these Keeping the Faith programs is provided by the Y. The Y, since it started in 1873, has been helping develop student leaders by providing opportunities for social action and community service. One of the big Y projects going on right now is a grand recycling project called Dump and Run. And the mosque has been very gracious to have one of our collection boxes there at the mosque. And many Muslims have donated items of clothing and desks and food things that students often would just throw away at this time of year before they head home. But the Y has been collecting them all last week, and we're still collecting some things this week. So if you could bring something by the Y, most of our collection boxes we've picked up yesterday or we'll pick up tomorrow. But if you have any things that you'd like to donate, including furniture, household items, kitchenware, bring it to the Y at 1001 South Wright Street. That's the corner of Wright and Chalmers in Champaign, right across from Lincoln Hall. We collect all these things and save them in huge semi-trailers over the summer. And then at the Stock Pavilion in the fall, the week of August 24, 25, and 26, those 3 days we'll have a great sale. And new students are coming back to campus. International students who've arrived that week before can buy things very inexpensively. As a result, it helps raise money for the Y, helps international students, and it keeps things out of the waste stream.
I hope somebody's using my old computer I donated last year.
I'm sure they are. They probably got a great bargain and are very grateful. So this week at the Y, you may bring things between the hours of 8:30 and let's say 3:30, Monday through Friday. If you have questions, do call us, 337-1500. Happy to answer those questions. Let's see. Coming up on Focus 580 this week, in fact, Monday, tomorrow, is an excellent interview, I'm sure, with Susan Brooks Thistlethwaite, who is the president of the Chicago Theological Seminary. She's going to be talking about Christian conflict resolution with guest host Jack Brighton. That's Focus 580 here on WILL tomorrow at a little bit after 11. I knew people listening to Keeping the Faith. Many would like to hear President Thistlethwaite, who spoke at the Y just a year ago. We have a caller waiting on line number one. You're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I just have two comments. One is, I think it's interesting that the English word companion means to break bread with. And the other comment is that when I was a child, I got a taste of Holmentaschen, which is a wonderful... I think it's a bread. I may be wrong, but it's wonderful. And it, in English, it means Solomon's pockets. It's all full of dates and all kinds of wonderful things. So I really think it's important for us to share our cultures.
That's actually a pastry for Purim. And, yes, they're filled with dates and all sorts of things, three-cornered hats.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for reminding us of that delicacy. We could have some fun just talking about the religious food in all of our traditions. Let's tell people who are listening what some of the whirlwind events coming up are. Allison, would you help us with that?
Sure. So the next event is this coming Saturday. It will be a young writer's reading at Pages for All Ages at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 20th. And we have some young writers, ages 5 through 18, who are prepared to read. But if there are other young writers out there who would like to write poems on things having to do with neighbors, they can contact us.
And that's Pages for All Ages, a bookstore on South, just off of South Neal in Champaign, Illinois. And that'll be Saturday, May 20 at 2 p.m. Listeners are invited to come also. For the young writer's reading about neighbors.
Yes. And then our next series of events are connected with Habitat for Humanity's Home Builders Blitz. Habitat is building 4 homes in 1 neighborhood in 5 days in June, June 5th through the 9th. There are contractors and builders who've donated labor. And it's just amazing to think that they'll be able to build 4 complete houses in 5 days. And so Whirlwind is doing some things to support those builds. There will be, I think, 80 to 100 workers on the site to build these houses that quickly. So on June 5th, Whirlwind will provide those workers with a taste of the different international foods we were just talking about, providing them breakfast, lunch, and dinner for that day.
And that's on a Monday, June 5th, and we're eager to have other people bring food as well.
Sure, yes.
And where should they bring it?
Well, they should probably check on our website, which is www.whirlwindproject.org, and you can then email us and let us know what you would like to do, or call for information The number is 217-328-1641. And then we will contact you and see what you would like to bring for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for workers. We're also having a block party for the new homeowners and their neighbors next Sunday, the 21st. And one of the things we're looking for are some folks to help us with activities for children. We're going to see if we can connect these new homeowners with their new neighbors by having relay races and making a mural. Jenny Southland is going to help us with all of that, some arts activities, some athletic activities. We'll have Kilbourne Alley Blues Bands to see if we can build some bridges between these folks. And then we'll get involved in their new homes dedication.
Before we get to that, let me just emphasize that Sunday, May 21st, next Sunday, from 2 to 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And that'll be at the end, right at the end of North Walnut Street in Champaign. And it'll be a block party that people in the community are invited to, as well as the new neighbors. And do come and enjoy the music and the homemade art that we'll be helping with. So, and you mentioned the new homes dedication.
Then at the culmination of this project, they will dedicate four homes on Saturday, June the 10th at 3 o'clock. And so Whirlwind will be involved in preparing for that ceremony, too, in which the keys to the new homes are handed over to the owners.
Saturday, June 10, 3 p.m., and that'll happen at 1302 North Champaign Street in the city of Champaign. That's June 10 at 3 p.m. So just to go over those times again, block party, Sunday, May 21, from 2 to 5 at the north end of Walnut Street in Champaign. June 5th, we need a lot of food donated. You can either bake it, cook it, or buy it and donate it. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 80 to 100 workers putting up all these homes in 1 week. That'll be Monday, June 5th. But to find out about how to do that, do call 328-1641 in area code 217 or go to the website whirlwindproject.org. And then the homes dedication, June 10th at 3 p.m. on Saturday at 1302 North Champaign Street in Champaign. So those are some of the events coming up relatively soon. There's also a writer's... There'll be a reading of poetry and prose on the theme of Neighbors for Adults at the Verde Gallery, Sunday, June 11 at 3 p.m. And may people still submit things
for
that?
Yes. I know Robert Silverman is taking charge of that with Norma Martyr, and I know they are still accepting submissions of work to be considered.
So the website would be a place to go to find out about that as well. Very good. Let's talk about something that's already happened that people have missed, but there were over 300 people or close to 300 people at the opening concert, which was at Krannert Center. Allison, tell us about the Music of World Neighbors.
Well, it happened to be Earth Day, in addition to being the kickoff for Whirlwind Project and part of the Boneyard Arts Festival. And so we had music from a wide variety of traditions. We had the Talampong, which is a Sumatran gong and drum ensemble, started off the festivities with a procession. And then we had the Mbira ensemble from Zimbabwe. And these are thumb pianos with singing. And then we had an opera scene, Sarah and Hagar, by New York composer Gerald Cohen, who came for that event and sang the role of Abraham in this opera scene. And this is all about the birth of Ishmael and the relationship between Sarah and Hagar, the biblical figures. Then we had the Bodacious String Band, a wonderful group of young string players led by Robin Kirtan. And we had Yang Ying on the Chinese arhu. We also had the Balkan Ensemble of the University of Illinois, led by Donna Buchanan. So we had music of many continents on Earth Day, and it was a wide variety, and it was in the lobby of the Krannert Center, and people enjoyed it.
Folks who've who attended that, I know, enjoyed it. But if you missed it, there are some other things coming up with the Whirlwind Project. Let's just go on with the list a little bit. About a month from now, on June 17, a Saturday at 2 p.m., will be Romeo and Juliet told in a very unusual way at the University YMCA at 1001 South Wright Street in Champaign. This will be Romeo and Juliet as retold by the Prompting Theater. So, Allison, tell us a little bit about the Prompting Theater.
The Prompting Theater is a group of very talented, developmentally disabled adults who write and produce and act in their own programs. And they are led by director Brian Hagee, who is incredibly creative. They did a performance a year ago at the YMCA, and it was just wonderful. And one of the things that I have asked that we perhaps do at the end of their scenes, they'll do some scenes from their version of Romeo and Juliet. But then we're going to have a bit of a discussion, as we did last year. And this year, the theme for the discussion may be how they relate to their neighbors, how their neighbors relate to them, how they're treated in our neighborhood.
And again, that will be Saturday, June 17 at 2 p.m. at the University Y. And that event is free, of course, and open to the public. Let's see. Maybe that's enough for right now of the list. We'll mention some of the other events coming up a bit later. But let's get back to our theme today, which is the art of being neighbors. And we have representatives here from Judaism and Islam and Christianity in the studio. And listeners are encouraged to call and share their experiences with interfaith relations. 333-9455 is the number in Champaign. Anywhere else, you may call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. Mujahid, let me go back to the Muslim tradition for a moment with the question, what are some of the obstacles to people being neighbors? What are some of the things that keep Muslims, Jews, Christians, and others from actually treating each other with the kind of respect and hospitality that each of the traditions encourage people to do?
Well, that's an excellent question, because to me, all the reasons for not dealing with neighbors the way it should be is misunderstanding of faith. We don't understand, we Muslims, we don't understand our faith in a good way, and also others are not really understanding their faith the way it should be. So it's a kind of understanding of religion the sometimes the opposite way, that if my neighbor is a Muslim, if my neighbor is a Christian, well, this means that he is closer to me than a Christian. That's not true, according to the teaching of what I know about the teaching of Islam. So the main reason among all the reasons that we have is misunderstanding. So that's why we need to understand our religion more than we ask others to understand our religion. And that's what I'm telling also my congregation all the time, that we need to understand our religion in order to deal with others. This is one thing. And the other thing is that unfortunately, people are becoming so materialistic in their life. So if I sit in a neighborhood, maybe sometimes tens of years, I don't know who is my neighbor next to me. Why? Because people are so much concerned about their things, their affairs. They are so concerned about their life. I always say that my house, my things, my, you know, the term my means that I don't care about others. Well, this is against not only religions, not against faith, but it's against life. Because life, unless you deal with your neighbor whom you are exposing your everything to him, He's seeing what comes to your house. He sees what is getting out of your house. He can be very close to you. So you have to have him as a friend. And that's why in the Muslim tradition, whenever we move to an area, we ask about neighbors. Who is in the neighborhood? Who is going to be my neighbor? And once my neighbor is there, everything is in the teaching of Islam, at least what I know, that everything is prohibited regarding harming him or getting him a little bit bothered of whatever you do inside the house. And of course, it is not only being generous to him, but also to protect him. And I don't know if it's suitable to say that in Islam, some of the evil deeds are prohibited. One of them is, for instance, if we take adultery. I'm just a religious man, so I would like just to mention some of these things. Adultery is a sin in general. But adultery committed with your neighbor is the most punishable sin ever. Which means that your neighbor should be protected from you from any kind of evil. When it comes to some of the specific evils, okay, this is something that a person should take care of. Means that you should be generous to him, you should protect him, and he should be away from any kind of harm that's coming from you. So why people are not really dealing with their neighbors nowadays? Unfortunately, it is misunderstanding of faith, or not following any kind of faith, maybe, becoming, you know, generosity is something related and attached to the human life. A person is not generous, is not really exchanging and sharing and giving others any kind of help. He's not a human being.
Allison, if we could move to you in the Jewish tradition, what are some of the barriers to peace, some of the barriers to understanding, barriers to neighborliness that are warned about in the Jewish tradition?
I think that some of people's discomfort with others who are not of the tradition relate to fear of being harmed. Historically, my grandparents and my father escaped from Germany in 1937, escaped from the Nazis and brought people over here. But one of the things that I found interesting in my own background was that my grandmother actually was very open to people of other traditions. But I know that, you know, there is true anti-Semitism in the world. There was 40 or 50 60 years ago, and there is now. But I think that the fear and sometimes the suspicions make us wary of connecting with other people.
Speaking for the Christian tradition, Christians have a huge obligation, being the world's largest religion. And one of the difficulties with being part of that faith is that so often the temptation to use that the fact that there are maybe more Christians in a particular country, like in the U.S., than other religions, to give into the temptation of abusing power, of abusing, I guess, abusing minorities, abusing people who aren't in the majority. I think that's one of the big barriers, one of the big temptations for Christians, and it's happened around the world, unfortunately, in many cases. Has led to injustice, has led to prejudice, has led to ethnocentrism. So, you know, that's one of the difficulties, because, of course, the teachings of Christianity, the teachings of Jesus, in the Beatitudes, how Jesus told his disciples to treat others, is to treat them as you would wish to be treated. But that basic golden rule is so often broken by Christian arrogance and power.
You talk of majority and minority, Steve, and I think that part of what motivates a small minority, as in the Jewish community, is the desire to retain a certain identity and those things that are of value to us. And yet I think that what we're able to do with Whirlwind is to allow everyone in his or her own tradition to retain that identity and to honor that identity, and yet still to connect with each other and to see that connecting with each other as human beings doesn't in any way diminish any of our individual faiths, our allegiance to that faith, our values, our traditions.
Mentioning minorities reminds me that within the Whirlwind Project here in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, there's also been a pretty good effort to include racial minorities as well. And one of the events coming up that the Whirlwind Project is sponsoring is a poetry slam at the Douglas Branch Library in July. That'll be Saturday, July 8th from 2 to 4. And again, a poetry slam is informal poetry, spontaneous poetry in many cases, and there are many practitioners from the Black tradition, African-American tradition, who do that with great elan, great skill. And it's fun to observe, even if that's not a skill one has oneself. But that will be open to the public at the Douglas Branch Library Saturday, July 8 at 2 o'clock. That's also available still for people who would like to participate. Call 328-1641. Also coming up are sacred stories with accounts of neighbors. And Mujahid, I think you might have brought one with you today, a story from the Islamic tradition about neighbors. There'll be more shared on July 16, a Sunday at 2 o'clock in Crystal Lake Park. But do you have one to share with
us? Well, I had a very interesting dialogue with a Christian friend about a week ago regarding taking care of neighbors and taking care of friends in Islam. And he mentioned to me that this the same thing that you are saying is in the tradition of the Christians. Well, what I mentioned briefly, there is a saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, about how to take care of neighbors, how to take care of friends and people who are close to you. And on the day of judgment, the Lord God will ask you in person, how come I was sick and you didn't visit me? And the person would say, you are the Lord. How you become sick? He said, well, my servant so-and-so, he mentioned a name, my servant so-and-so was sick and you were not able to see him and visit him in the hospital or in his house. And he said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. He would say that, oh, Lord, how you become hungry? You cannot be hungry. He said, my servant so-and-so was hungry and you didn't feed him. After the same night, he left the mosque and he sent me some verses from the Bible. That's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. And I was so surprised. Of course, I wasn't really surprised that the teaching of Islam is a continuation of the teaching of Christianity, so it must be the same thing. But he quoted for me so many verses that could describe exactly. Okay, of course, there's something extra maybe in the Bible. Okay, so this is something that shows that the neighbors are there in every religion, even for the non-divine religions. The neighbors have so much of value. So I'm going to share maybe these two stories in that event with the rest of people.
Okay, that will be Sunday, July 16 at 2 o'clock at the a picnic and theater in the park with Sacred Stories About Neighbors, Crystal Lake Park. Let me mention another concert that's coming up that's been a highlight of Whirlwind for several years, and that's a concert at Salem Baptist Church where Reverend Dr. Claude Shelby is senior pastor. There'll be Sunday, July 30 at 7 at night, a community concert, Songs of Our Neighbors. And it will feature an interfaith choir that Whirlwind is pulling together. Allison, can you tell people about how they could participate in that if they'd like to?
Again, if people are interested in singing, I think the best thing would be to go to our website if you have internet access, or to email info@whirlwindproject.org. Or to call our information line, 217-328-1641. And yes, we've always invited members of choirs in our area to join in that.
And a new thing with Whirlwind this summer will be a film series. Saturdays at 2 o'clock, July 15 and 22, at the Urbana City Council Chambers. We'll be showing Over the Fence with audience dialogue. And then July 29 at 2 p.m., another Saturday, the very popular film Crash will be showing at the Urbana City Council Chambers with audience dialogue. People who've seen this wonderful film, from a very provocative film from a year ago that won so many awards, will be talking about that film on Saturday at 2 p.m., July 29. So we'll be showing films on the 15th and 22nd, Over the Fence, in the Urbana City Council Chambers, and then talking about Crash at 2 o'clock Saturday, July 29. Well, we've run out of time on this program today. I want to thank our guests on Keeping the Faith, Allison Fromm from the Jewish Tradition, and the Imam from the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center, Dr. Mujahid Al-Fayyad, for being our guests.
Thank you.
My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Let me remind people that the University Y, which provides support for this program, is collecting things this week for our Dump and Run project, things that maybe you're tired of, no longer using, but you'd like to donate to the Y. We're happy to accept furniture and kitchenware and all sorts of things that would be useful, particularly for students next fall. Do bring it by the Y this week, Monday through Friday from 8:30 till 3:30, or give us a call if you need more information, 337-1500. Coming up on future Keeping the Faith programs, Scott Preller from Christian Science will be our guest the 21st. Later on in June, we'll be talking with Tom Albrecht on the 4th about some of his artistic projects. June 11th. Anna Baltzer will be our guest on a pre-recorded program. Keeping the Faith can be heard from 5 to 6 p.m. here on WILL AM 580 on Sundays. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Imagine a scenario where universes bubble up out of black holes, space itself can boil, and humankind may have to fight for survival by building gigantic atom smashers the length of several star systems. That future may be closer than you think. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, we'll walk out to the next frontier in physics. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana.
WILL programming is funded in part by a grant from TK Service Center, 806 Perkins Road in Urbana, offering automotive repair on cars and trucks by ASE-certified technicians. In business since 1984, they perform computerized engine diagnostics, alignments, brake, suspension, preventative maintenance, and other repairs. A shuttle service for customers is also available. 344-0800 or on the web at tkservicecenter.com.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, cloudy with scattered showers this evening, then a slight chance of showers after midnight. The low in the mid-40s with light winds. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers, the high around 60 degrees with northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with scattered showers in the evening, the low in the upper 40s with northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. It's 6 p.m. This American Life is next.